So this particular topic was chosen because this week is Yom HaTzmaut. And it's important for us to understand what Yom HaTzmaut is. It has become, I don't know the exact statistics, but it's actually almost more often than not that we don't have Yom HaTzmaut actually on the day of Hei'iyar. And that, to my mind, is one of the best reasons to celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, is because there's so much sensitivity in terms of Shmirat Shabbat, that it shouldn't affect the way that Shabbat is kept. That itself may be one of the greatest miracles in terms of reasons to appreciate the modern state that we have. But I want to go back a couple of hundred years, is where we're going to start our discussion. And again, we'll see where we end up with all this. The title here is the Vilna Gaon, the Omer, and Yom HaTzmaut. So what we are primarily going to do today, but of course we're going to have a long introduction until we get that there, is that we're going to read from a book which is called Doresh Litzion, which I happen to have, and I'm willing to bet none of you have. It says on the first page, Drashot Miyasdei HaYishuv Be'eretz HaKodesh, that these are talks that were given, public talks that were given, by those who established the Yishuv, the old Yishuv, Mibeit Midrasho Shel HaGra. And these are the people who were the students of the Gra who came to Eretz Yisrael. So, Doresh Litzion, as appropriate. It's actually part of a three-volume set that deals with various aspects of that, things that happened before the first Aliyah. I know that in terms of certain academic study, the first Aliyah is when we first started to come back, but believe it or not, there were Jews here beforehand. The second thing that I'm going to do to explain this is I'm going to use another book. This one, it says on the introduction, Anachnu modim letzeitzei Rav Shlomo Zalman Rivlin, al reshutam adiva ledpis hamadura hanochachit, that the Rivlin family gave permission to publish this book. The Rivlin family is the main family of the students of the Gra. I would say today the most famous descendant would be the president of the State of Israel, who is a descendant of that family. Here is a book which is called the Kol HaTor. There are various editions of it. The edition that I have over here is one which was prepared by somebody named Yosef Rivlin. Yosef Rivlin is a professor in Bar Ilan University. This book is somewhat controversial. In the opening lines over here it says, V'hu shitat hagon Reb Eliyahu Mivilna. This is the approach of the Gra. V'giluyav, and what he revealed, al tkufat hetchalta de geula, regarding the beginning of the redemption, mo'uroteha u'mitzvoteha, the events that will happen, and what our task is, mehagona mekubal Rav Hillel ben Rav Binyamin Rivlin Mishklov, Tamid Hagra, not just Tamid, also the cousin of the Gra, and that, everything over here comes from the Rivlin family, that's what you should know. All of this comes from the teachings of the Vilna Gaon. You'll see as we go along why some of this may be quite controversial, but as I said, we'll wait till we get there. So what we're going to do is very simple today. We're going to try to understand what it is that the students of the Vilna Gaon knew. Now, why would the students of the Gaon know something? And everything I'm saying now we're going to see inside as we move on, is because he told them what was going to happen. He told them certain things. He instructed them about certain things. And we're going to see what it is that he told. And then, and as I said, the main thing we want to do today is one drasha that was given. The date of this drasha, which you have the whole drasha, that's the small photocopy page. Al-Noseh Drashbal Kol Yehoshua of Yosef HaSofer B'Yushalayim B'Shnat Tav Resh Kavav. Here is a drasha that was given in 1866. Okay, so that's also going to be quite significant. 1866 is what we're going to study today, but as I said, let's move back a little bit. The Vilna Gaon was born in 1720. He died in 1797. As a child, he was known as an incredible prodigy. It is very difficult with all types of people like this to separate fact and fiction. If one were to do what I've seen various scholars try to do, and that is to limit themselves only to people who had first-hand knowledge of the Gra as opposed to second, third, or fourth-hand knowledge, even with just first-hand knowledge, there's an overwhelming persona that comes out. He was, in a certain sense, Judaism's Mozart. That means from the youngest possible age, having mastered simply all there was in Judaism. He apparently, by the age of Bar Mitzvah or so, had mastered all Jewish literature. So again, I don't want that to sound... It's what it sounds. All Jewish literature, which means that he had mastered by that point, forget about Tanakh and forget about Mishnah and Gemara and Rishonim and all Kabbalistic literature, all the writing there, Rizal, Zohar, whatever. He had mastered all of Jewish literature by the time he was around 13 years old. Again, what is my evidence for this? His primary student, Mechaim Volozhin, writes this. So again, when words like that come out of Reb Chaim Volozhin's mouth, then it's again not a third or fourth generation. And Reb Chaim Volozhin, there's a book which is called the Sifra Ditzinauta, which will be referenced here along the way. It is a small part of the Zohar where the Vilna Gaon has a long commentary on this. I have this at home. I have a couple of volumes of this at home. And in the introduction, Reb Chaim Volozhin says, just in case you never knew that the Vilna Gaon actually was a mystic, so then he starts to lay down what exactly was the Gra's knowledge in terms of mysticism, and it's simply like his knowledge in everything else. It was overwhelming, it was total. I was at an academic conference a couple of years ago, dedicated to the Vilna Gaon, and one of the presenters just stated as a fact, I didn't get to ask them or to... He said the Vilna Gaon wrote more on Kabbalistic material than all of the Hasidic leaders combined. So that, as I said, just a completely, completely overwhelming side of it. But normally, the Gra that we see or that we hear about is the Gra who has Reb Chaim Volozhin as a student, who then opens up the Yeshiva Volozhin, and really what you can call the whole Litvish approach coming from the Beit Midrash of the Vilna Gaon, but there was another aspect of the Vilna Gaon. On Chol HaMoed Pesach, I gave a talk about the two legacies of the... It was on the yurt site of Rabbi Soloveitchik, and I talked about the two legacies of the Vilna Gaon and how sometimes they interact or intersect. But one of the legacies is his students, and one of the legacies was his family and students. And his family and students, he strongly encouraged to come to Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon as well tried to make a trip to Eretz Yisrael, and if I can, I'll try to get back to that if we can. Now, this book, called the Kol HaTor, in this Rivlin edition, has... Chapter 1 is really introduction. Chapter 2 is the main part of the book. 156 different aspects. Now, different aspects to the redemption. But here is the main thing you need to know about the Vilna Gaon's Torah of Redemption. I have another book over here called The Gaon of Vilna and His Messianic Vision, which almost says nothing about this, which is quite remarkable that he can miss everything I'm about to say in this nice thick book. The Vilna Gaon himself believed the main aspect of Mashiach coming is what we call Mashiach ben Yosef. That's the main aspect. Mashiach ben Yosef is mentioned only one time in the Gemara, source number 1. And it's mentioned as a side point. It mentions in the Gemara in Sukkah, on Daf Nun Bet, that there will be this time that will be an incredible crying and mourning. One said the reason for the mourning and the hesped will be Al Mashiach ben Yosef Shinaharag. It will be regarding Mashiach ben Yosef who was or will be killed. And won't be because of the Yetzahara. Now, as you know, the Yetzahara is still around, so you can now question what this means about Shmiach ben Yosef. And it quotes the verse and so on. Now, there is a persistent Kabbalistic approach. Source number 2 is from the Pri Etz Chaim, which goes back to the Arizal and his student, Chaim Vital, who insists... Now, let's just pause for 1 second. Yosef, the biblical Yosef, in his lifetime, was thought to be dead. Matter of fact, many years later, when Yaakov finds out that Yosef is still alive, what does he say? Od Yosef Chai. Not only is Yosef still alive, but Yosef is he's in charge of the whole thing. I mean, what a surprise ending, right, to the book of Bereishit. Yosef is still alive. Everybody thought Yosef was dead already. So this persistent Kabbalistic approach is that even though there'll be crying, even though there'll be mourning, even though there'll be evidence that he's dead, Mashiach ben Yosef does not have to die. What's the evidence that Yosef is dead? We have the coat. It's full of blood. He's dead. So the Kabbalistic understanding of this Gemara is, and maybe that's even the reason why there's two different approaches, what the mourning is about, but even if there's a mourning for Mashiach ben Yosef who was killed, yeah, there's a mourning that he was killed, but he really wasn't killed. Well, we can still keep him alive. Those of you who have Sephardic Sidurim, if you look in source number 2, Tishkon. B'milat v'chisei David avdecha, when we say it in the Amidah, his hir lanu mori, the Arizal, ma'od, b'yom echad shehalachnu al tzion shmayu v'avtalyan, b'tpalanu sham. Once upon a time, Rav Chaim Vital tells that I walked with the Arizal, we went to pray by the graves of Shmaya v'avtalyan, v'chpil lanu lomar, and he said to us again and again, sh'nizkir b'chol tefila v'tifa l'chavein b'milat David avdecha, when we get to the words, say David Avdecha, on the word David Avdecha, sheyichyem Mashiach ben Yosef lo yamut, that we should pray that Mashiach ben Yosef lives and does not die. So as I said, this and there are Sephardic Sidurim that say this is the Kavanah to have when you say these particular words. V'hu nikra kisei David Avdecha. What's the kisei? What is the throne of David? The throne of David HaMelech, the throne of Mashiach, is formed by Mashiach ben Yosef. Is this sod? Even when the city is destroyed, they will still dwell within it. By the way, this emphasis on the city I need to explain as well. Because the Shechina never left the Kotel. Now, there's a midrash in the Tanchuma, which I did not bring for you here. I'm telling you, I always try to limit myself to four sides and not get to more than four sides. That's my self-limitation. There's a midrash in the Tanchuma that tells us that everything that happened to Yosef happened to Tzion. Yosef, Tzion, Zion. Zionists. To be a Zionist is to be a Yosefist. That Yosef and Tzion are two mirrors of the same thing. When it talks about that the city over here, never that there is this absolute connection between Yerushalayim and between Yosef. Tzion is the most beautiful place. Yosef is the most beautiful person. Tzion, there was a whole bunch of jealousy. In terms of back from the time of the Midrash, it has never has changed, and there was always jealousy towards Yosef. A matter of fact, Yosef in Gematria is kin'ah, is jealousy. Okay? That's it. That there's just an incredible amount of jealousy, which goes because of the beauty and goes because of the capability, and I'll say it now in a very simple way. This book of the Vilna Gaon is all about Mashiach ben Yosef. The second chapter I started to tell you is 156 different aspects of Mashiach ben Yosef. We will not go through all of them today. It is one of the things that's worthwhile going through at some point. But the reason it's 156, of course, is because 156 is the gematria of Yosef, and is the gematria of Tzion, and is the gematria of Kin'ah, and therefore 156 Tzion and Yosef are the same. And therefore that's what the Midrash Tanchuma was really hinting at. And therefore, these are things which are related on a much deeper level than we possibly can understand. So, our starting point is that you think Yerushalayim is dead, you think Yerushalayim was destroyed, you think Yerushalayim should be mourned and is a relic of the past. So what's the truth? Od Yosef Chai. So what does Yosef have to do with Yerushalayim? What's the answer? Absolutely everything. Okay, so that's the starting point. In a note on source number 2, Haga'ah, which is most likely from a son of Rav Chaim Vital, it says, and you should know something, Shebechol dor v'dor yavo Mashiach ben Yosef b'Gilgul. In every generation, there is a potential for Mashiach ben Yosef. There are souls, right? In the middle of source number 2, where it's underlined Haga'ah, in every generation, there is another opportunity of Mashiach ben Yosef to appear. That means there's always an opportunity for Yerushalayim to be rebuilt. There's always a possibility for the beginning of redemption. Now, the central thinking of the Gra is that the Messianic movement is one which is human-based. The way that we call this in our Kabbalistic literature is an awakening from below as opposed to awakening from above. The Vilna Gaon felt that Mashiach ben Yosef needs to do, in his words, 999 out of 1,000 of the pushing. That it has to be, it's going to be a human episode. It's not going to be something which just like that Mashiach is going to come one day. That we have to be a part of it. And there is a natural process to the Messianic movement. We're going to start with source number 3. Now, source number 3, as I said, this is our long introduction, and all that I did in source number 3, without telling you where I'm taking it from, it's various parts of this book called HaTorah. If you don't want to spend your money on it, you can find it online, both in English and in Hebrew. Yehudenu Yehudo Sherabenu Hagon. Again, this is written by his cousin. Before his relatives left to the land of Israel, the Vilna Gaon told them what their job is, what they need to do, and he explained to them certain mystical secrets as far as what will now take place. Some of the things we're going to read here will shock you, and again, I'm going to remind you that he died in 1797. His students themselves started to organize themselves within a couple of years afterwards, in the early 1800s, finally making their way to Israel, 1812, 1813, and finally make their way down to Jerusalem, where they will, hopefully will get up to the point that they open up the Beit Midrash, which they call, of course, the Beit Midrash of Eliyahu, Beit Midrash of the Vilna Gaon. Kol HaTorah is what the Vilna Gaon told them. So let's begin. Yehudo, Yehudenu, our task, Yehudo Shorabenu Hagon, and the task of our teacher, Nehura de Mashiach ben Yosef Ladora Charon, who had the spark or the light of Mashiach ben Yosef for the final generation. And by the way, in case you're a little troubled here, how they can call him Mashiach ben Yosef, the Arizal students called it to the Arizal, and he's not the first or the second or the third who saw this, by the way. Later on in the Kol HaTorah, the Vilna Gaon will at one point give up on this. He will tell them he is not the spark of Mashiach ben Yosef. He thought he was. He thought that that's what his task in life was. And then at some point he realized that it's not. And as I told you, there's a dual legacy of the Vilna Gaon. He realized that instead, unfortunately for him, that he was more like the spark of Moshe Rabbeinu. And his job was to teach Torah, but he couldn't cross the border. He came to that realization, but he had to send his students over. And therefore his students, just like Moshe, sends Yehoshua and Am Yisrael over. He goes, you need to go. He goes, they're not letting me go. They're not allowing me to come. And again, something happened along the way, and there are mystical calculations which I could begin to explain, but first let's read a little bit more, and then we'll understand. Al-Pi Rabbeinu Rabbi Eliyahu, Kol Ha'ikvut De'itchalta Kibbutz Goliot v'Yishuv Eretz Hakodesh, all of the events and all of the elements, Klolehim Upratehim, the general and the specific, Ad Haketz HaAcharon, until the final moment, the final, Heim B'Tefkido Shemashiach Harisha Mashiach Ben Yosef. Again, I already explained this to you. It's 999 out of 1,000 is going to be done by Mashiach Ben Yosef in a natural way, not in a supernatural way. Uba'im misitra desmola hainu midat hadin. And all of this is going to come in a strict way, not just God giving it as a free gift. Be'ataruta dilatata, as an awakening from below. Be'derech tiv'it, happening in what we call derech hateva. Kimo b'yimei bayit sheni, b'yimei korish, just like in bayit sheni, when the Jews came back and started to build the land in a natural way. Be'achakach tushlam ha'gu'ula, and at the very end, the redemption will come in midat ha-chesed. That last moment will be midat ha-chesed, misutra d'yamina, from the right side, Mashiach ben David. Now, again, I want to stress that in Kabbalistic thinking, there's a right side and there's a left side. There's also a center. If you look at my scribbling on the board, the scribbling on the board is your classic, generic, everyday, Kabbalistic spherot. Before I look at this, do you remember on every Sukkot we have the Ushvizin coming, and Did anybody ever ask in your sukkah why the order is not within the proper chronology? Why the order is Abraham and then Yitzchak and Yaakov and then? And then the proper way is, and then Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. But that's not the right order. So why is it? Because we're not following the chronological order, we're following our Kabbalistic order. So the top three, Keter, Chachma, and Bina, and by the way, between Chachma and Bina, there's something which isn't there, which is called Da'at, and that's where Chabad comes from something which isn't there. Chabad is the meeting point between Chachma and Bina, which is an imaginary, theoretical point. Under that you have Chesed. Now who represents Chesed? Avraham. That's the right side. Afterwards you have Teferet. Afterwards you have Gvura, which is on the left side, which is Yitzchak, that's Midat Hadin. In between you have Yaakov, and Yaakov is Teferet. The next Netzach is Moshe. I know you're all thinking Moshe and Aaron should be inverted, but Netzach is Moshe. Hod is Aaron. And Yesod is Yosef. And then Malchut is David. So when we invite our Ushpizin, we're simply following a well-known Kabbalistic Arizalian formulation of what we would call the lower seven Sfirot. But I do want you to notice, we just talked about the right side, we talked about the left side, but maybe what's most important to notice, and I'm just telling you right now to notice, that there's also a center. There's three different sides. There's right, left, and center. The three top ones, Keter, Chachma, Bina, that's actually before creation. Those are more having to do really with God. And afterwards, you can have Avraham manifesting Chesed, and you can have Yitzchak manifesting Gvura, and Yaakov Teferet, and so on and so forth. But important for us, in the center, you have Yesod and Malchut. You have Yosef and then David, which means Yosef is the one who prepares the way for David. Yosef is the one who prepares the way for Malchut. Yosef is the one who prepares the way for Mashiach ben David. Okay, and that's what we just now read, and let's continue reading. Hashita hayisodit sherabeinu hi od Yosef chai. The most important thing to know in terms of the Gra's teaching is Yosef is still alive. Od Yosef chai. Ba'amidatenu al safet chalta, and as we stand at the cusp of the beginning of the redemption, aleinu lilmod heitevet kol me'av hachamishim v'sheish hatchunot, it is upon us to learn very well all 156 aspects. Habchinot, the facets. Hakinuyim v'haskulot shemashiach ben Yosef. The different names, the different types, the different power, the different shades, as it were, of Mashiach ben Yosef. Umisodot ha'itchalta, and with the secrets of the beginning of the redemption, hanir mazim b'chibura v'kdoshim sh'arabeinu, hinted at in the various writings of our teacher. Leman neda, in order for us, again, who is this talking to? To the students of the Vilna Gaon who actually came back. And the reason, by the way, that I need to reveal this to all of us today is because we're also part of the students of the Vilna Gaon, and we also came back, and we also chose to participate within this process, and therefore it's quite important for us to understand what in the world is going on. Leman neda et haderech v'masima shelefaneinu, for us to know the path and the actions which are in front of us, l'or rabbeinu aholech, in the light of our teacher, v'or lefaneinu, who goes in front of us and sheds light in front of us, al nachon ad nachon hayom b'saita d'shmaya, until this very day with the help of heaven. As you see from the three dots, I just now skipped a whole bunch in the book, and here's the second place. Rabbeinu etchil b'gilui rimzeya torah b'yoto ben esrim shana b'shnat taf. The Vilna Gaon started to reveal these secrets when he was 20 years old in the year, what year is that? 5,000. Good. What year? 1740. The year. Good. Now, what you may or may not know about the year 1740 is 1740, all the Kabbalists in the world went crazy. When I say went crazy, you can decide if it's a good way and a bad way. But the reason why this happened is a passage in the Zohar, which is in Zohar Bereshit on page 117b. You do not have this in front of you. I will read. It says as follows. This deals with the flood of Noah. At every 60 years of the 6,000, the hay will mount a stage higher, acquiring greater strength. which means nothing to you, and I'm not going to explain it. And after 600 years of the 6,000, there will be opened the gates of wisdom above and the fountains of wisdom below, and the world will make preparations to enter on the 7,000 as man makes preparations on the sixth day of the week when the sun is about to set. So that year that he's referring to is the year 1840. That year he's referring to is 1840.
100 years from then.
Right, 1840. However, in the year 1740, which was 5,500, so there's various teachings, both in the Gemara and in other places, and maybe some of you remember, it says that during the 6 days of creation, this is what happened on the first day, said, right, we know, but that it came to the sixth day, it says, on each hour of the sixth day, this happened, then this happened. The first hour, this happened. The second hour, this happened. Now, when does the sixth day begin? So in Judaism, we generally have first the night and then the morning. So 5,500 is the morning of the sixth day. So what happens on the morning of the sixth day? What happens to you on the morning of the sixth? What do you do on Friday morning? You start to get ready for Shabbat. So what happened in 1740? In 1740, the Kabbalists all woke up and said, time to get ready for Shabbos. That's all that it is. You just now read those words in the Vilna Gaon. When he was 20 years old, it was 1740, but you don't understand what 1740 is. What year is 1740? It's 5,500. 5,500 means we're waking up on Friday morning, time to start getting everything ready. Major Kabbalists, no one understood what was going on unless you were a Kabbalist. Major Kabbalists from all over the world started descending upon Yerushalayim in 1740. 1740, major Kabbalists started coming to Yerushalayim. Everyone did, what are they doing? Because they knew exactly what they were doing. What were they doing? They were getting ready for Shabbos. What are you doing to get ready? You got to go to the Shuk, right? So they all came to the Shuk. 1740, they were all coming over here. If you just want, I'm going to give you a partial list. The Ramchal, because you've heard of him. Emmanuel Chai Ritchie, who you probably haven't heard of. The Or HaChaim, Chaim Ben Attar, Reb Chaim Abulafia. All of them came at that point, and there's many, many more. And I'll tell you another secret, they all died. Almost immediately afterwards, most of them as young people. And you can then take this as a conclusion that we're just not ready yet, and maybe this isn't the time, and maybe you can't force the process. But they all knew something. And what our text is telling us, the Vilna Gaon knew the exact same thing. And if I had to then guess, without knowing anything, if I had to then guess, so when exactly will the Vilna Gaon want to come to Israel? So it's very simple to me. It has to be right, and by the way, just to be clear, all of those people that I just said, they all didn't exactly come in 1740, but by 1743, all of them were here. It was that, meaning after, you know, hundreds, many hundreds of years of essentially having a small, small population, suddenly people started. One historical source claims that even 10,000 people, 10,000 Jews, were in Yerushalayim in 1740. And no one can understand it. Why are they coming? What is this all about? But sometimes you need to know a little bit about Kabbalistic or Jerusalem syndrome to understand why this was happening. But what did our text say? That in 1740, the Vilna Gaon woke up. And what does it say at that point? And now he knew what his test. And again, I'm going to remind you, by the age of 13, which was 7 years before this, he already had mastered all kinds of Jewish knowledge and text and so on. But by 1740, he knew that this is the beginning of the end and we need to start doing something. Now, if I were then to guess, not knowing anything else, when will the Vilna Gaon try to make it to Israel? It becomes very, very easy math. The easy math is taking 500 and dividing it by 12. Now, you want to ask me, why am I doing that? Or, no, or did that make any sense? Yes? Why did I take 500 divided by 12? Because it's 12 hours in a day, and here we are on Friday, and we have tradition what happens on each one of those hours, and if the first hour, if it begins in 1740, so if I divide 500 by 12, what does it come out to? 41.6, which means that what is going to be the next date which will be of significance will be 1781, and you can bet anything that that's when the Vilna Gaon is going to try to make his trip to Israel to try to get there by 1781. And by 1740, we're told, well, by 1781, we're told that that's when God gathered the dust to make Adam. That's what it says in the Gemara happened in that first hour. So you can imagine the beginning of the gathering coming together. That's when the ingathering must begin. By 1823 is the next hour. That's when Adam was kneaded into a shapeless mass. And the Vilna Gaon students will end up coming between those 2 hours, gathering to forming something. And if you don't understand what I'm saying now, I can just take you through the rest of the hours of the day here, and then you'll know exactly what's going on. Do you want to know when the next really significant hour is? I'll just tell you that just to keep you a little involved. In 1864, it was the third hour, his limbs were shaped. In 1906, a soul was infused within him. And in 1948, he arose and stood on his feet. 1948, he stood up and rose on his feet. 1740, 1781, 1823, 1864, 1906, 1948. In 1990, he gave animals their names. By the way, that's when the whole communist bloc fell. And all countries got different names at that point. Everything changed. You want to know when the next hour is? When the next time everyone's going to go crazy with messianic speculation will be 41 years from then, and we should all live and be well by then, but it'll be the year 2031. So you're the first ones who can start predicting it and have your psychotic episodes beforehand and say, what's going to happen? In 2031, Eve becomes his mate. Okay, so let's go back a little bit. What I just now told you, the Vilna Gaon knew with 100% clarity and understanding. He saw what was going on. Which one blew you away? The 1948? That's when he stood up? Hakamat HaMidina? That's when Adam stood up on his feet? Okay, so you realize that we may be onto something here. Okay. This is based upon this, what I just now told you, is based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin on page 38, together with the application from the Zohar. Whatever. Let's continue. Should we read that line again now? Rabbeinu Tchil Begilui Rimzeya Torah Ben Esrim Shana. He began to reveal things when he was 20 years old, Vishnat Tavkuf, in 1740. That's 5,500. Why? That's Friday morning. Tchilat Hashah HaRishona Sha'or Boker Yom HaShishi Be'elav HaShishi. In the beginning of Friday morning of the 6th millennium. Asher az hachal ruach Elokim, at that moment the Spirit of God, rucha de Mashicha, the Spirit of Mashiach, lefon beruach kadsho, began to beat in his holy soul. This is the Vilna Gaon began this urge to spread this and to teach this and to tell other people about this. Liglot razei haTorah, to teach the secrets of the Torah. By the way, what is another name for Yosef in the Torah? Sofnat paneach. What does that mean? Revealer of hidden things. So the Vilna Gaon now knows, because again, he feels the spark of Mashiach ben Yosef, he has to reveal some of these hidden things so people will know what's going on. Ligalot razei haTorah kim'a kim'a biyudo shel Mashiach Rishon. As part of his role of this first Mashiach, galui razin de razin, to reveal the secrets of the secrets, sodot shebesodot, the most profound secrets, be'ikfut Mashiach, in the footsteps of Mashiach, v'chol raz lo anisle, and there was no secret that was hidden from him, ukinoda, and as is well known, hachal nsor la'eretz hakodesh, b'tchila kasha shnia, that he started to take his trip to Israel as we got close to the second hour. By the way, ha'inu b'shatof kuf membet, this meaning, I think there's a misunderstanding of this. The second hour is in tof kuf membet, but he started his trip in 1938. So in 1738. So I had this discussion with somebody who's an expert in this, and he said, no, the students of the Gur got it wrong because they said he went, no, it's not, it doesn't say he started in anticipation of that second hour. I think that's the way to read this line. Just read it again. This is in order to anticipate this. Asher az halasarat ruhave sarat elio lekvotzki liot biyoter sa'et. That's when things began to accelerate within him. Okay, and the main event, we just skipped a little bit to another part. What are the main things that need to be done? Hin binyan Yerushalayim, to build Jerusalem. Why? Because Yerushalayim and Mashiach ben Yosef, they go together. The role of Mashiach ben Yosef is therefore to build Yerushalayim. V'kibbutz Golio, to gather everyone from all over. Yosef, by the way, actually gathers all of his brothers together. He brings them all back into one place, even though it's the reverse. V'kiyom mitzvot atulir pa'aretz, And together with all this is to deserve to be here, we need to keep the mitzvot, this particular mitzvot, which are dependent land. Vesod Kate Samagula, Vukulam Bidush Avenu Anurad, Mashiach ben Yosef. And all of these were connected to the light of our teacher, who had the soul of Mashiach ben Yosef. Ulfi Haratov and Iskavot Bimfurash Baderech Mirzin Vesod Sofna Paneach. And according to his instructions, which go back to the secret of Tzofim Reach, Vesod Maasev Cheshbon, Vesod Agadov, and Iskav, Vesod Kol HaTor, and according to the secret of the voice of the Torah, L'ftichat Ketz HaMegula, to start the revealed end of days, Befo'al, actually, you know, in reality, concrete, Shezot Eta B'Shivato Shrebeinu Agrav V'Tamidav, that was the stated goal of Vilna Gaon, to start the Messianic times. Next. By the way, this is Lamed Tet. This is the 39th of the 156 aspects. Now we're actually in the second chapter. V'yikir Yosef et Achav. And Yosef recognized his brothers, v'him lo hikiru, but they didn't recognize him. This he's going to tell us is going to be an element of the whole, we will call, for lack of a better word, but Zionist enterprise, where those who have the soul of Mashiach ben Yosef who come to build the land, his own brothers are not going to recognize what's going on. Why that's going to happen, I'm going to spend a little bit of time explaining because it's important. Yosef, not only in his generation, that one of the elements of Mashiach ben Yosef in every generation is that he understands his brothers, but they don't recognize him. Satan, this is very interesting. And it's almost like the work of Satan, as it were. Who am I steer at Tukhunatav Shem Mashiach ben Yosef? She'im Michinim Bikvot Mashiach Avagam Mizal Zalim Behem Bevonotenu Rabim. The other brothers, not only don't they recognize him, but they ridicule him, they make fun of him, they downplay him, and all of this comes from a very, very bad place. Kilu Lezot, if that would not be the case, Kvar Kates, sorry. Zot hayak far ketz l'tzarotenu. Had they not done this, then we would have already accomplished what we needed to accomplish. Which is another way of saying this, is this worst sinat chinam, the core of sinat chinam, is the sinat chinam of the brothers towards Yosef, but the same sinat chinam goes on the brothers in every generation towards Mashiach ben Yosef, and that's one of the reasons that we can't go further and accomplish what we need to accomplish. The Ilu Yisrael Makirim et Yosef, but had Israel really recognized Yosef, Hainu Ikvot de ben Yosef Mashiach, Mashiach, if they recognized Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef, Shehin Kibbutz Goliot, V'chulei Hayu Niga'alim Kvar B'gula Shlema, then already it would have happened immediately. Kol Tamidav Shelagra, Sheftichuhu Ne'emanal Nsor La'eretz HaKodesh, all of the students of the Gra, who pledged that they would travel to Israel, ulit maser levodat yishuv hakodesh, and that they would dedicate themselves to building the land, gilal lahem rabbeinu, our teacher taught them, misodot darchei tchalto de geula. He taught them the secrets of the beginning of the redemption. Bisod, the secret of yodim mu'adim mu'yuadim, I'm not going to explain all that, lefi hakatuv, hanitzanim neru ba'aretz, Birimizim Kadishin Hatsfunim Bidivar Hanavua Vachazal. And it's worth looking at the Psukim, but we're not doing that. Achetasod Hagadol Shoketsa Acharon, Ketsa Yamin, Sha'alze Midabarabin Ba'arichut Bisifr Ditsanuta, regarding the final action which he did reveal in that book I told you before, the Sifr Ditsanuta. And here's a quote from the Gra in that book. I can show you this exact line where he says, if you understand what I just now told you, which I do believe is based upon those calculations that I started to show you, he writes, Umashbia, he says, I make the reader swear, Bashem Elokei Yisroel Shelo Lagalot Zot, not to reveal any more than I just now revealed. Gila B'Zi'ir Anpin, he revealed a little bit, La'achadim mitamidav, to some of his students, Sheftichu ne'emana l'nsor la'eretz hakodesh u'lasok b'kibbutz goliot v'tzod ketz yamin patach ketz haplaot la'achad mibnei tzor machat zavato. I'll translate in a moment. Od mimizim b'inyan zeh ad kama sheyesh l'an rashut l'daber g'liyum b'derech tzofar paneach. And he revealed more and more to those that are coming, the little bit which we can really tell. Yedaber mirtz Hashem, we're going to explain in the fifth chapter. L'kol zman v'eit l'kol chepetz b'saita d'shmaya, in the proper time. So we're skipping to the fifth chapter. Ma chazaku, I think that should be koach, not noach. Ma chazaku koach hasitra achra, the power of the other side. Shelab yado lahastir minei ha'avot ha'kdoshim et sakanat ha'klipot. Now, I'm going to explain to you what he's going to. I'm going to explain the implication of this, and then we'll read it. If you've ever been troubled by the claim, how could it be, you know, that the Zionists could be right if all the quote-unquote Gedolei Yisrael are against it? So the Vilna Gaon is telling you exactly why that's the case. There's a power of the Sitra Achra, of the other side. By the way, just like you have all the Sefirot B'Kodesh, there's also a negative side. Just like you have 49 levels, 7 times 7, each one, there's 7 aspects within. There's 49 levels which are negative. There's also 49 levels which are positive. Hopefully some of this will become clear in a couple of more minutes. He writes here as follows. Shalobi Adola Stirmine Avota Kdoshimit Sakanata Klipot. Meine Avram Avinu and Klipat Yishmael, Meine Yitzhak Avinu Klipat Esav, Meine Yaakov Avinu and Klipat HaTrafim. The Avot, the great Avot, did not understand the danger of Yishmael, Esav, and of the Trafim. Who did understand that? The Imahot. The Imahot did understand it. He's saying right there, please understand that just because great Gedolim, the greatest people in the world, okay? Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov are great. Right, you ready for that? They're greater than Tzarech, Rivka, and Leah. They didn't get it, but Tzarech and Leah did get it. He's using this to understand that sometimes when somebody is so great, they get confused. And there are people who then can fly under the radar, and they understand exactly what's going on. So I'm going to continue with this a little bit. Uveikvut Mashiach Govar Sitra Achra, and as we get closer to the right time, then the negative side gets stronger. Biyoter lahakot gam tofsei Torah bisanvarim. It blinds the people who study the most Torah that don't understand what is going on because the negative forces go against them, and those who are underneath the radar understand. Uvenovatenu rabim, to our great sin, rabim heim achotim chet gadol shavimasuba aretz chemda. He goes, there are many people who just don't want to come to the land of Israel. Gam rabim mitofsei haTorah, and some of the great teachers of Torah as well. Lo yadu v'lo yavinu shetafsu b'chet hamiraglim. And they don't understand that what they're doing, again, this is writing more than 100 years ago. They don't understand what they're doing is that they're reliving the sins of the miraglim. Nischafu b'klipat chet hamiraglim b'kol minei sfarot kozvot v'tonot shav m'duchim. They use all kinds of sfarot and all kinds of explanations, and all that they're doing is the sin of the miraglim again. Gam mechassim etzfer and I'll come out and say, and there's no mitzvah to live in Israel in this generation. It's already been rejected, that opinion, that there's no mitzvah to live in Israel. Again, you hear how he's referring to the other great rabbis who say that there's no mitzvah to live in Israel today. Hamiraglim ha'ele rotzim liyot yoter gedolim meratenu tanaim v'omarim shekavu sheyishivat eretz or shkula kineged kol mitzvot shebetorah. They're willing to go against all of those who say that living in Israel is the greatest mitzvah that there is. V'rabbeinu haramban zechuto yagen aleinu shekava mitzvah yishuv eretz yisrael b'mitzvah taseh shebetorah v'yirashtem otah v'yishavtem ba. And I will teach the Ramban, v'rabbeinu balei ha'tosfot yom tov shelefnei agula tietz chaltot kamo sheha b'yimei koresh b'yimei bayit sheni v'chein rabbeinu ashla ha'kodosh hamvorat golden mitzvah yishuv eretz yisrael b'chol eit u'v'chol zman lo paska k'dusha lo mitzvah af l'rege achad. Israel never lost its holiness. What are these people talking about? Rather, you heard what he said, that they are reincarnations of the Miraglim. It's the Sitra Achra. They don't know what's going on. Umi gadolon b'chol hadorot achronim korabeinu ha'gra kadosh Yisrael. And who was greater than the Gra? Let's be honest. Ashe b'divrim chatzuvim lavot esh. He itz b'talmidav lalot la'eretz Yisrael. He told his students they must all come to Israel. Ulasot b'kibbutz goliot. And get involved in bringing back the masses. V'arbe lezareza talmidav la'achish et ketzah migula. L'karev ketzah gula yedei yishuv eretz Yisrael. In order to get the time of redemption earlier, to speed it up, to get back to Israel. Kim'at b'chol yom diber eleinu rabbeinu beretet uvehitragshut. Ki b'tziyun v'shleim tiyeh pleita. That you should go quickly because Europe is going to disappear. He died in 1797. He told us with tears in his eyes, Ki b'tzion v'yushalayim tiyeh pleita. Those who will survive will be the ones who make it to Israel. V'lo la'acheret ha'moed, and don't wait till after the right time. Mi yimalel mi yita'eret goldo da'agatol shal Rabbeinu b'dibro elenu d'rim ke'ele. Who can describe the worry that he had when he told us these things? Ke'elu ke'elu b'ruach kodsho uv'dimo'ot be'inav. To the very bottom of the page. Ma gadol hu ke'ev shel uvda shirabim me'achinu be Yisrael u'b'neim gam me'ashirei am shebedinot Rusya asher hitkavnu behit lahavut l'msar l'eretz Yisrael b'mitzvah Rabbeinu Agra. And he goes, and what can we even say about all of these people, the wealthy people, the ones who were going to come after they got instructions from the Agra, v'nitkaruru, and they got chilled, cooled off. Dafka ayidei kama mitov seyotara, other gedolim told them, there's no mitzvah, you're better off staying in Europe, Europe is a better place for you. Asher lo yodu v'lo yavinu v'zot ma shekatuv Rabbeinu ki b'kibbutz goliot yigbar sitra achra. And that's what the Gur is saying, is that as the time comes to come to Israel, the other side gets stronger and stronger. Ratz lomar, v'zot ma shenemar b'midrash k'shisrei yotzimina galut amalek mizdamein lem b'derech. When the Jews come out of galut, Amalek is waiting for them. And notice, he's calling Amalek the Gedolei Torah. V'zeo koach hatumah asher al zeh ne'emar asher korcha b'derech, machazak kocho koach hasatan shechnis dat kozvot gam b'tofsei ha-Torah lakeva tegula harei hamuraglim hayu Gedolei Yisrael v'hasatan hisiyim rachmanu litzlan. By the way, now you realize why this book is a little controversial? Let's go to the quote from the book itself. This is from, these are the instructions that the Vilna Gaon gave his students while he was still alive. So, the Vilna Gaon never made it. As I said, he died by 1797. So, we're going to read now the Drasha. Let's begin. This is called, all that was introduction for the Drasha. Svirat HaOmer V'yomatan Torah V'ktushat Yerushalayim. This is what you have as the photocopy page. Svirat HaOmer V'yomatan Torah V'ktushat Yerushalayim. Al nosei zeh derash bal kol Yeshua, Rabbi Yosef Asor of Yerushalayim b'shnat Tofresh Kavav. This is Rabbi Yosef Rivlin, one of the descendants of the students of the Vilna Gaon. This is based on Mehillel Mishlov Hillel Rivlin. So this would be his grandson or great-grandson who is now continuing and giving this talk in 1866. Mitzvat Sfira to Omer, hi ha-mitzvah ha-yichida she-sofrim aleha et yamim 49 yamim b'shiv'a shivuot b'chol yom b'rachat shem u'malchut. This is the only mitzvah that we have to count, and we count with the bracha. Yesh lavin, one should understand. Lama kol ha-tchuna miyuchedet ha-gdula hazot she-mitzvah sfirat ha-omer she-eina b'shum mitzvah acheret she-mitzvah Torah. Why is counting over here so special and with the bracha unlike any other mitzvah? V'gam lama ba ha-omer dafka misa'orim she-machal behema k'mvura b'chazal. Why is the omer itself brought from animal feed, which is barley, and something which is theoretically very, very low down, chomer, something chomri, animal food? B'Torat HaKabbalah, so that shouldn't now surprise you with our long introduction that we're going to immediately go into a Kabbalistic interpretation. B'Torat HaKabbalah mevorek, b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim hayu shku'im kvar b'memtet sharei tuma. That the Jews had sunk, and this is, I suspect, something all of you have heard before, that we sunk to the 49th level of tuma. And the last night we had this possibility, and there is no Shar Nun Shel Tuma. If you get to the Shar Nun, you disappear. It's total non-existence. Shel Tuma Hainu Adagar Yoter Tachnuna Shel HaTuma. L'chein Mihera Kodesh Baruch L'otziyam Mitzrayim B'chipazon Rav. And there God acted to get them out as quickly as possible. Uvotom Mem Teta Yamim, and therefore in those 49 days, B'yom Tzeitami Mitzrayim Ad Yom Matan Torah, from the day they left Egypt to the day they received the Torah, Yatsu b'chol yom mishar tumah echad, v'nechanesu l'shar k'dusha echad. So each one of these days, we turn something negative into something which is positive. Ad ha-shar ha-memtet, till the 49th shel k'dusha, shu dargat malchei ha-sharet, to the level of the angels above. V'yad yom matan Torah, shu ha-shar ha-nun, and yom matan Torah itself is the 50th day shel k'dusha, haynu ha-shar ha-elyon, b'yoter she-benun, sha-arei ha-k'dusha. And that's the highest level of understanding, of knowledge, of holiness. And all of this was in order to rise and climb in holiness, step after step, in order to receive the Torah in its incredible holiness. וכן גם בכל שנה, תמיד ממתת הימים שבין הראשון של פסח ובין חג השבועות. And likewise, every year during these days, הם הם הימים המוכשרים. These are the holiest days and the most enabled days. ומסוגלים who have the quality ביותר לתעלות לדרגות הקדושה. These are the days that we can all climb spiritually מיום ליום, from day to day. זהו סוד התכונה העיקרי של ספירת העומר בממתת יום אלה. And that's the real reason we're counting during these 49 days. וגזירת הכתוב. And that's something the Torah just tells us we need to do. שתעלות הזאת תסומל דווקא על ידי דבר חומרי, and it's specifically on something which is very physical, מהמדרגה הכי מנומחה, כמו קומץ השערים של העומר, going from the lowest level of something like the barley of the Omer, shehu ma'achal behima, which is the food of the animals, l'arot sh'adam, af al-pi shehu kashur l'chomriyut, even though man is connected to the physical, v'afilu hu omed b'derga hachi numucha, kemo ma'achal behima, even though a person could be on the lowest possible 49 levels, yuchal hu im yirtze la'alot, od derga k'dusha yoter, ad derga k'dusha yoter, yonad derke ma'achaya sh'arayt, a person can get to the level of the angels. Now, one thing I want to stress is the background of all this is the Vilna Gaon believe that the job of Mashiach ben Yosef is to work on the physical. So therefore the fact that this is something which looks very physical and the barley is physical and it's animal and it's involved in the quote-unquote lower worlds, all of this does actually fit into something that hopefully we already understood. Bal Kol Hator, so now he's quoting his great-grandfather, Rav Hillel Mishklov, Talmid HaGra, again, the student and cousin of the Gra, Mivaer explained, Ki akoach kel kedushat Yerushalayim. Now that should be interesting to all of us, because he just now threw Yerushalayim into this. What does Yerushalayim have to do with anything right now? Why is Yerushalayim here? So if Hillel Mishklov explained that the holiness of Yerushalayim, Liveh et b'nei Yisrael b'kol haderech ba'hilchu mimitzrayim ad Yerushalayim, that the holiness of Yerushalayim was with them the whole time when they left Egypt till they got to Yerushalayim. V'omar b'shem hagra, ki davaze mirumaz mifurash b'pasuk, and it says it in the pasuk, it's hinted. Halach v'karati b'oznei Yerushalayim lemor. Go and tell in the ears of, specifically, Yerushalayim, the nevuah starts. Ko amar Hashem, zacharti lachesed nurayach, avat kulotayach, lechtech achray b'midbar b'eretz lo zura. So who's the topic, who's the subject who we're speaking about? It's Yerushalayim. L'fi adrash kavanat Yerushalayim b'pasuki al Knesset Yisrael. According to the drasha, who are we talking to? Knesset Yisrael, the people of Israel, b'chlala. Amnan ein mikra yotze midei pshuto u'l'fi hapshat nemar zer al Yerushalayim shehi halcha acharei Hashem b'midbar. Which means that what we always describe as the cloud that went with them, he says, that's the holiness of Yerushalayim that was with them the whole way. It could be connected as well, because Yerushalayim and Yosef are the same. Okay, continue. Kamur v'dergat k'dusha Yerushalayim hu memtet shari k'dusha, and Yerushalayim represents the 49 levels of k'dusha. Kishehi mechuberet Yerushalayim shamala, because Yerushalayim shamata is connected to Yerushalayim shamala bizman shehi benuya, when it's built, as it says, kikatuv Yerushalayim benuya ki ir shechibra la yachdav. It connects together the lower and the upper, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Shamala. Al pi kol muvar nireta kesher na'alev anisgav shebei mitzat sfirat ha'omer matan terava kedushat Yerushalayim. Based on all this, you can understand the connection between counting the Omer, receiving the Torah, and the holiness of Yerushalayim. V'zoti gam ha'kavanah ma'sha'anu omrim b'tfila ribon shalom shel sfirat ha'omer l'taharenu u'l'kdashenu b'kedusha shalmala. Purify us, sanctify us with the holiness of above. What's the holiness of above? Yerushalayim Shamala. Hainu Yerushalayim Shamala. Al pi sod Kabbalah, according to Kabbalah, Hamatara ikarit shel kol ha'pu'ulot v'tfilot ha'elu hi, halak nesi Yisrael, shi shchinat ha'tata. The whole thing is to take the Jewish people, which is the Shechina below, l'derga k'dusha Yerushalayim Shamala, to bring us up to the level of Yerushalayim up in heaven. Bal kol ha'torah tamid ha'gra mosif gam Remazim Nefla'im Brayon Zeh, Rav Hillel Mishklov added, and he pointed out, Knesset Yisrael, the community of Israel, Yerushalayim Shamala, Svira to Omer. Each one of those phrases, Kol Achat Mehim Olam B'Cheshbon Gematria Echad. All of those have the exact same Gematria value. Knesset Yisrael, Yushalayim Shamala, and Svira to Omer. Yimei HaSvira Eifa, however, these days of Svira, Heim Yamim HaMissegulim B'Yoter Lalod B'Kedusha, but because they are the days that have the highest capacity of holiness, Ach Le'umot Zot, on the other hand, Him Gam Rigishim Yoter Lehitabkut HaKlipot Ki Klal Yadua Hu, Shekol HaMukudash B'Yoter, Hein B'Makom, Hein B'Zman, B'Kol Nosei Kedusha, Aluli Pagayoter Ayideya Sitra Achra. And that we've already seen. The holiest and the things which are most holy have the most sensitivity to be taken over by negativity, so therefore the place that the Beit HaMikdash once stood could become right now a place which has the opposite in it or sitting within it. And he says, therefore during these days we need to be the most careful. Why? The Sitra Achra, sheyoneket et chiyuta, Rak me'akdusha, it gets its life from real holiness, which means sitra achra negativity gets its holiness by sucking away from real holiness. V'zeh tam shivimei asfira tzrichim lizaher yoter mimaga im chavruta ra'a umidvrei sakana, and that's the reason that we should stay away from people, isolate relatively, therefore no public, no weddings and things, and from things which are dangerous, zulat shnei yamim misuyamim b'yamei asfira, except for two particular days, she'ein haklipa yuchola l'shlot b'hem, because on these 2 days, the negativity, the klipa, can't even touch them. V'heim yom esrim ba'omer, v'yom arba'im v'shtayim ba'omer, ki yadu l'doichein, as is known by those who know the secrets, understand the secrets, shnei yamim ha'ele nitunim v'shiluvim shel kav harachamim. These are, and go back to our picture there, these are the Kav HaRachamim is the middle. It's not the right, it's not the left, it's the middle, and it's the balance, and the balance is what's strongest. Things which are extreme on either side are therefore susceptible to fall, but the Kav HaRachamim is the middle level, and he therefore explains that it's specifically these days. Now these days are, Remember, like in your Siddur, it says the first day is Chesed Shebechesed, and the second day is Gvur Shebechesed, and the third day is Teferet Shebechesed. So he says that therefore the first week is Chesed, second week is Gvura, and the third week is Teferet. The 20th day is the sixth day of the third week is Yisod Shebet Teferet, which you now see is the middle of that is the Kav HaRachamim. The other day that he's referring to over here is the 42nd day, which is the last day of Yisod. It's Malchut Shebi Yisod. So therefore, Yisod Shebi Tiferet is the day that Yosef connects with Yaakov. It's the day that Yosef fulfills, Eila told it Yaakov Yosef. It's the day that Yosef fulfills, takes all the power from Avram Yitzchak, which comes to Yaakov, right? It's Chesed and Gevurah, which comes to Tiferet, all the power of Avram and Yitzchak, which come to Yaakov, and then gets manifested in Yosef. That's Yisod Shebi Tiferet. On the other hand, the other day that the students of the Vilna Gaon understood from the Gra is Malchut Shebi Yisod. It's the day that Yisod gets complete, the day that Mashiach ben Yosef gets complete. Yosef is complete, and then prepares the way for David HaMelech. And he says, on these 2 days, nothing negative can happen. And I'll ruin the end for you. And those 2 days are, of course, Yom Atzmaud and Yom Yerushalayim. So, what I want you to see, it's not that this was, that we picked out of a hat. There's a system involved in this. I just want to continue and read a little bit. I need to explain Yom Yerushalayim still, because I didn't explain it yet. He continues and he says, Shnei Yimim Ha'Eilim Nutunim B'Shilavim Shal Kav HaRachamim Kaf Ba'Omer Yisod Tiferet Membet Ba'Omer Malchut Yisod V'Uv Dehistorit Muflahi. It's an unbelievable historical fact. Shetamidi Agura B'Yom Esrim Ba'Omer, the students of the Gura on the 20th of the Omer, which is Hey Iyar Bizman Tchilat Pulatam, when they first arrived in Israel, Hichbir B'Yisod Yishuv B'Yushalayim B'Shnat Tov Kuf Ayin Bet in 8. What is that? That would be, Ayin Bet would be 18. What's this year? So Ayin Bet would be 1822, right? Yes. שבשנת תוף קוטף עין בית, אותו שנה שבה הניחו את יסוד של בית מדרש אליהו. On Hei'iyar is when they arrived and they were here and they started to build the Beit Midrash Eliyahu on Hei'iyar of that year. Al Shem Rabbeinu Grab Yushalayim. Ra'u Beruach Kadsham Shenevtach Halon HaRishon B'michitzat Har Barzel. They saw that the heavens, in a sense, had been opened up. L'chazarat HaChibur Shel Zchut Avot, Avim Yitzchak and Yaakov, She'nifsak Me'azman Chorban Beit HaMikdash, from the time that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, that there was that Ruach HaKodesh was missing. Tamidei HaGra V'Tamidei Tamideihom, the students of the Gra and their students, Haba'im Achareihem, Nitzlu Shnei Amim Eile Shel Hanachat Yisod L'Mafilei Kedusha Shonim B'Yerushalayim. They used these days to do all kinds of wonderful things in Yerushalayim. So I just do want to explain about Yom Yerushalayim. Yom Yerushalayim is actually, Yerushalayim itself in the Six-Day War was captured over 2 days. If you look back at the history of the Six-Day War, it's on the 42nd and the 43rd day. They started to capture Yerushalayim on the 42nd day, and it was completed on the 43rd day. I will tell you one more thing about this. Remember you said that Yerushalayim was with them all the way that they traveled? The first year, on that year, they were attacked by Amalek on the 42nd day, and they defeated Amalek on the 43rd day. He said tomorrow, which means the Muhammad Amalek, when we defeated Amalek, was on the 43rd day of the Omer. As I said, those two on Kaf Chet Iyar, and those 2 days also, I believe, are absolutely related to those 2 days and are connected. You may not have known that the Vilna Gaon was involved in Kabbalistic thought. He was. He, as you saw from the various things that we read, and that's why it was important to me, not just to say these things out loud, but for you to see them actually inside, that the Vilna Gaon felt that the Jewish people need to come back to the land of Israel. He felt that there was a natural process. And it's a natural process. You don't know if a natural process takes place in 1 year, 5 years, 100 years, 200 years, but we are part of this natural process. He saw certain things. I'm not going to describe prophecy, and I don't want to turn the Vilna Gaon into Hasidic Rebbe, although I may be already guilty of that today. But He saw, for reasons that I hope you now understand very, very clearly in terms of the dates that were going on, he saw that it was time for us to come back. He saw it was time for us to be involved in the process. He thought the Messianic process wasn't something you just leave to God and say, okay, you take care of it. He absolutely believed, and he saw a couple of elements which I think are interesting for us to look back at today. Those who may be the greatest teachers of Torah don't understand it, and the Vilna Gaon says that's the problem. They don't understand it. Just like Yosef, they didn't know who Yosef was. Which means, I told you, there's 156 elements of Yosef. I pointed out, I think today, maybe three or four of them. But he understands the secrets. He's involved in this. He's building this. He's preparing the way for Mashiach ben David. But all the heavy lifting is done by us. And in case you never understood it till right now, all of us here are part of this vision. All of us here are part of this work. And all of us are part of this natural process. And all of us are part of the spark of Mashiach ben Yosef preparing the way for this final stage. You saw, maybe it was the most dramatic part, where he cried and he told people, please leave Europe, you'll be safe in Israel. Can you imagine what people are saying? How can we go to Israel? It's a desert. How can we survive there? And he says, you don't understand. That's where the survival will take place. That's where and as I said to you, he, at some point, it's quoted over here, at some point he understands that he's like Moshe Rabbeinu who can't go in. He needs to stay and teach Torah outside, and Torah has to spread outside. And then and his students are the ones who need to go. But he himself desperately wanted to go. He started to go, and something happened along the trip. He started to go at the time of the second hour, and something happened at that point where he realized that he was not permitted from heaven to proceed. And at that point, that he stopped. So I hope that you all enjoy Yom HaTzimut this year, having a little bit greater understanding about what it's about.